Thank you. Be seated, please. If we have any visitors this morning, welcome to Lake Country Bible Church. We're thrilled to have each and everybody here, and we just want to make sure any visitors feel like they're 100% welcome. If you would, look in the pouch in the chair in front of you. There'll be an envelope in that. Inside the envelope, there'll be a card that we'd love to have you fill out. There's a pen in there to do it with. Fill that information out for us, please. Put it in the basket to the right-hand side of the door on the way out. Give us a little info to get in contact with you. Maybe we could just let us know each other about each other a little bit. Make sure you know you're welcome to come back. So thank y'all.
Good morning. An announcement, prayer meeting every Sunday in the room back here, 9 o'clock in the morning. Everyone is welcome. You can pray silent prayers too at that prayer meeting. Women's Bible study will resume January 9th next year. Wednesday night Bible service, prayer meeting, Bible study, 6 o'clock p.m. Everybody is welcome. This Friday, 8 o'clock a.m. at the Red Dome in Quitman, the men's prayer group will meet. C. Eliton family, December 3rd, invite friends and everyone you know to come and be blessed by this family's music during our 10:45 service. Water baptism. For those people that are interested in being baptized, the baptismal service will be Saturday, December 9th. We'll leave Lake Country Bible Church at 4 p.m. and journey to Grace Fellowship Baptist Church in Canton as a group. If you're interested in being baptized, please see the pastor. LBC Christmas decorations will be Saturday, December 2nd, 9:30 a.m., come and help decorate our church to help celebrate Christmas season. Operation Christmas Child, the shoe boxes have been sent, 45 boxes around the world to tell of children about Jesus. Our boxes have been sent on their mission. Now understand that we know how to fill in these boxes. You can still bring the things from time to time as you see them and put them in the plastic bin out back. Linda Cowan has, I've been told that she cleaned out her pantry and she has brought a whole bunch of food to put on the table back there, and you all are welcome to take whatever you would like from that table. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you have put us here. We have been in this community and this part of the country, and we are relatively free from all of the evils that seem to go on in the rest of the world, from the likes of what's happening in Israel and the things that happen in our large cities. We have so much in this town and community and where we live, Father, to be so thankful. And the beautiful days that we've had the last couple of days, just absolutely gorgeous. It's a pleasure to be in your world when these things are so pretty and so free from evil. Our country is a sinful, our world is a sinful world. And you hear our prayers, and we come to pray, Father, for wisdom and guidance. We pray, Father, that we have an ability and the opportunity to teach the youth. And we pray, Father, that we have compassion and care for the sick and for those that are disabled and for the people that are victims of human trafficking and for the victims of human persecution for their faith. And Father, we pray that we have the courage to reach out and share the gospel message with people that do not know your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that in all things, your will be done. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. The scripture reading this morning is 1 Timothy 1, verses 1 through 20. 1 Timothy, verses 1 through 20. 1 Timothy 1, 1 through 20. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went unto Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now, the end of the commandment is charity out of pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for ungodly and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for the liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor of the injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with the faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor, glory, and forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom Hymerus and Alexander, of whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme.
Good. Such a thrill to look out and see all the smiling faces. Seems like they're all a little bit bigger than they were last Sunday. Maybe you ate too much for Thanksgiving like I did. But it's good to see you and see you participating. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. A pastor was walking down the street one day and he noticed a little boy trying to use the doorbell on a house across the street from where he was at. The little boy was very small and the doorbell was too high for him to reach. After watching the little boy's efforts for some time, the pastor walks across over to the porch, climbs the steps, and rings the doorbell for the little fella. Kneeling down next to the child, the pastor smiles and asks, "And now what, my little man?" To which the little boy replies, "Run, quick." So sometimes we're surprised by the outcome. We are taking a brief hiatus from Daniel. The Lord laid on my heart this what we'll be speaking about this morning. And it sort of runs hand in glove, and it never ceases to amaze me how this happens from time to time, along with our Sunday school lesson this morning. By the way, if you've not been a regular attendee of our Sunday school on Sunday morning, I would suggest that you come. It's very entertaining as well as informative time together. And so you might consider that. We'll be speaking this morning on faithfulness, if you would. And we want to take, and I do this from time to time, I take and look at myself, trying to look at myself in a truthful way in light of Scripture. And what I want to look and chat with you about this morning is to look at how we walk, as believers, and whether our walk is really all that it could be or should be in our walk with the Lord. And so, keeping that in mind, would you look to the Lord in a word of prayer with me this morning? Father, we come. Father, we do thank you so much for grace. We thank you so much for salvation by grace through faith. Thank you, Father, that our salvation is secure, never to be lost. Father, that we're your children, and you love us with a perfect love. Father, we thank you for that. And we ask, Father, that you'd guide our thoughts as we look at this subject of faithfulness in the believer's walk. And Father, we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. I'd like to remind you, we do have a special coming up this coming Sunday morning. I would highly, highly, highly suggest, exhort, and even plead with you to be sure that you be here this coming Sunday to hear and to enjoy the Channing Ellerton family. They're coming all the way from Georgia to be with us and to be in the area for some number of days. But I would highly suggest that you come. A wonderful family, sold out completely to the Lord, and I know that they'll bless your heart and you'll have a real blessing and enjoy the time together. Also, coming up on Friday the 9th, we have a baptismal service, and we meet at the church here at 4, and we'll travel over to Canton sort of together and go and arrive at Grace Fellowship Baptist Church in Canton. And they have so graciously and joyously agreed to allow us to use their baptistry. And I told them, I said, no need to turn the heater on. We'll be all right just with the cold water. But no, I didn't. I told them, I said, be sure that it's warm. And they said that they would do that. Baptismal robes and towels will be available. And we have quite a few that have indicated they want to be water baptized, and the list seems to grow. But if you'd like to be water baptized, never been baptized before, and know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you get with me, and we'll work that out, no problem at all. So That's all the announcements I have from this time. But looking into the Word of God, we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, "Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful." That a man who is in charge or a recipient of those things that are valuable, it's required that he be faithful, a steward. Those people who have received valuable items or things or blessings, to be faithful. That was Paul's comment to the church at Corinth. And we'll be looking at this through the eyes of a believer. We find, as we look into this subject, that Jesus Christ is the Savior. We who know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, we have eternal life as a gift. It has been given to us. It's of high value, never can be lost, and our destination is heaven, where God rules and reigns, and we will be in His presence forever and ever. Jesus Christ, the only Savior of mankind that there is. Mohammed won't save. Other dictators who were of religious nature will not save. Jesus Christ, the only Savior that there is for mankind. Paul wrote in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "There is none other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved." None other. If you seek to save yourself, good intentions won't get you to heaven. Being regular in service won't get you to heaven if you're unsaved. Jesus Christ is the only way that we have as individuals to get into heaven. Our faith in Him and His work on the cross. When Christ was born, the angels declared in Luke chapter 2, verse 11, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." We sang about that. We're celebrating His birthday, the 25th of December, and we find here that He is declared to be the Savior, Christ the Lord. The prophet Isaiah quotes as saying in Isaiah 43, verse 11, "I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior." Can't be any plainer than these verses tell us this morning. Jesus Christ is the Savior, and there's no way to heaven except by Jesus Christ's death on the cross, our trust in that, as complete payment for our sin. Christ died. He rose again for all the world. When Christ died, there was not one sin ever committed or ever would be committed that Christ did not die for. If someone dies and goes to hell, it's their fault because they have trusted in their own works. We must come all the same way, and that is by faith in Christ Jesus, the Savior. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 says that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Every sin has been paid for. Every sin man can commit, has commit, or will commit, has been paid for by Jesus Christ on the cross. We find in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. 1 John 2, 2, "And He is the propitiation, the perfect sacrifice for our sin, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." If you are here this morning and you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have that free gift of eternal life. You have that precious possession that only Jesus Christ can provide through faith in Him. But Jesus Christ saves only those who trust in Him. Christ did it all. We had no part in His payment for sin. Christ did it all. God sent Him. Christ, obedient to his heavenly Father, came and paid that cruel payment, the payment of death upon that cross for you and I, and for the sins that we have committed. You see, we are recipients of something of value when we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Christ did it all. We had nothing to do with paying for sin. But there is something that we do have an opportunity as believers to do. Not for salvation, not at all for salvation. Don't mistake it for salvation. It's because we are His, we have something that we can do. And that is, we can go about our life in such a manner, in such a way, deliberately and intentionally to serve Him. And that's what I want to ask you this morning, and myself this morning, is how is our walk? How is our faithfulness in being a steward over the priceless gift of eternal life? How is that? How do we go about it? Have we been faithful? Are we sometimes a little bit unfaithful? Do we grow cold? How is our walk? What we've seen about Christ being the Savior also applies to Him as the Lord. The Lord. He is the Lord, whether man believes it or not. Whether or not a man allows Christ to rule in his life is something else again. You see, we who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, God Almighty, the Lord, is our Heavenly Father. And we should, as His children, be careful to maintain a relationship, a fellowship with Him that is honoring and glorifying. God led Paul to write that Jesus Christ is that blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We find in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The one who was crucified on the cross of Calvary is none other than the Lord of glory, the one who we have as a Heavenly Father. This responsibility that we have in having a life that is honoring and glorifying to the Lord is something that takes time, it takes patience, it takes endurance in our walk with Him. Doesn't mean we'll lose our salvation when we fail. It means that we do not have the life that God would have for us to have, to lead a life that is not glorifying to Him. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. He is Lord. He is in power today. Though some men refuse to let Him influence their lives, doesn't take away from who He is. He is the Lord. Most certainly, we ought to recognize and desire to serve Him in a God-honoring way. Do we grow cold? Do we become lazy in our service to Him? Acts 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made Him, or made that name Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. He is Lord. The time is coming when everyone will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. In salvation, we have no part in the payment for sin. However, in our walk, we have a part in obedience to Him. That is the responsibility of every believer. Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, that at the name of Jesus, every name should bow. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. How do we walk? When do we start? We start our walk the moment we trust Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We experience that new birth spoken of in the Word of God, that birth from above that only faith can bring to us. Faith in Christ, faith in His death. The moment we trust Him, our walk begins. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night wanting to know more about the things that Christ did and spoke about. And Christ told Nicodemus, in order for you to see the kingdom of God, ye must be born again. John chapter 3, verse 7 tells us, marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again. From the Greek, born, anothen, from above. At the point in time we trust Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, by faith, He becomes your Savior. Your walk in the Lord begins, a believer's walk with the Lord begins much like a new baby's walk. For example, a baby scoots before they crawl. They crawl before they stand. They stand before they stand and hold on to things. They walk, holding to things, stand, fall, walk, run, jump, grow in their walk. So we who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, our walk is much the same. We understand that to the degree we allow Christ to control our lives, He becomes more and more your Lord. Lordship salvation, it's not what we embrace as the way to get to heaven. Belief in the Lord Jesus Christ and His death on the cross is. After that, we have the opportunity to follow Jesus as Lord. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Only then, when we submit to His will in our life, will we have a walk that is honoring and glorifying to Him. Always remember that God will complete His work in us. He is our Heavenly Father. He is also Lord. He will complete His work in us as we allow Him. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this one thing or very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, all we need to have lives that bring honor and glory to the God and rewards for us at the judgment seat of Christ. We have all we need. Are we taking advantage of those resources in our lives? God, the Holy Spirit indwelling us, His Word that He has left behind for us and preserved it until this day. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 and 31, but of Him are ye in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Many times we will find problems in our walk with the Lord. They come as a result of our not having had the great biblical truths applied in our lives. And so we are living at a spiritual low level. It's sort of like when your car begins to run out of gas. It spits and sputters and falters. Many times we as believers go through those same things in our life as we allow the world and its influences and our laziness, to put it plain and simple, to maintain a walk that is honoring and glorifying to the Lord. From time to time, I take and look at my life and do sort of a checkup as to how my walk is. I want to look with you, if you would, at some questions we might ask ourselves as believers who want God's best in our lives. Question number one, have we lost our first love? Can you remember how you felt, what your experiences were in the Word of God and seeing the truths that are there when you first trusted Christ as your personal Savior? How fresh and exciting and meaningful those were. Have we lost our first love? Have I lost my first love? Have we become lukewarm? Have we sort of become unresponsive to the truthfulness that we find in God's Word? Have we become lukewarm in our attendance? Have we become lukewarm in our prayer? Have we become lukewarm as to sharing the gospel with those that are lost? Have we become discouraged by those things in this world that cause us fear or apprehension? Have we become discouraged by the cares of this world? Have you, have I, have we forsaken meeting with believers of like mind? We're warned of all of these things as far as our walk in this newfound faith in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We're warned of all of these things in the Scriptures. And we're all guilty from time to time. May we, during this time of celebration of the Lord Jesus Christ's birth, may we be reminded of the walk we had, and may we desire that closeness that we all have experienced when we trusted Christ as our Savior. The following things I want to share with you briefly, we can do to help in our walk with the Lord, no matter how old we are. Number one, we can pray. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Not a stilted, formal, written out prayer, but one speaking as to their daddy. Have we become delinquent in our prayer life? Study the Word. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Have we become lukewarm? Has study in the Word of God caused us to become, how should I say this, lackadaisical in our study? Have we become lazy in our study of the Word? Has it lost its savor? has it lost its excitement? We can meet together with like-minded Christians, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Folks, all you have to do is look around and see the days of the Lord coming to a close. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, maybe not until next year, but we can see the world falling apart around us. Have we become delinquent in telling others how to go to heaven? Paul writes, the Thessalonian church in 1 Thessalonians 2:4, but as we were allowed of God to put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Have we filled our lives so much with reading books about the book that we spend less and less time in the Word of God? All of these things can cause us to lose our joy in serving the Lord. Don't fill our life with so many good things. You do not have time for the things of Christ. Hebrews 12:1 tells us to lay aside every right weight. We need to, as God's children, understand that from time to time, these things will creep into our lives that cause us to lose our fervor in our walk with the Lord. So from time to time, it's important that we take an examination of our walk with the Lord. Paul writes to in Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Just as a couple united in marriage must work to keep their relationship fresh and enduring, so we must, as God's children, keep our relationship with Him fresh and enduring and strong. How's your life? How is my life? I must confess, in my walk with the Lord, I sometimes become discouraged. The Word of God loses its appeal, loses its savor. It takes an opportunity, purposeful opportunity, to make changes in our lives to the point that we're back in the Word of God, we're back in His service, we're back as His children, glorifying Him in our day-to-day life. That's my prayer for you. We have a new year coming up, 2024. It's hard to understand, to believe, and to comprehend how fast this year has passed, but it's passing. We've got a new year coming up. But don't wait till January 1st to begin working on your walk with the Lord if it has lost some of its savor. Don't wait till then. Begin today. That's my prayer for myself. It will be my prayer for you in the days to come. Be encouraged. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that it's true and that it's accurate from cover to cover. Father, we thank you for grace, for the free gift of eternal life. Father, for your Holy Spirit who indwells each one of us. who brings us around, Father, in our thoughts, to the point that we realize and understand our walk is not all that it could be or should be. Father, your Holy Spirit leads us back into your Word, back into a walk that's honoring and glorifying to you, and we thank you for that. Father, we ask that you would bless this church, these ones, Father, as we go through this life and the days ahead. Father, that you'd be honored and glorified and pleased with our walk. Father, we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.